I'm continuing on the line that I've been the last few weeks. I've been sharing from Ephesians 6 with this thought that we are exhorted to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, but also to take up the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the works, the attacks, the methods of the enemy, and walk in the plans of God, the will of God, unto victory. So I have a little bit shorter time. I'm not going to really review too much today, but I want to go right to Psalm 27, because where I was finishing last week was in addressing the helmet of salvation. A helmet protects your head. What goes on in your head's, for the most part, thoughts, fears could come, and we need to be able to be protected, especially from a spirit of fear, because that would work to render us powerless and to move us away from the will of God and to try to destroy our lives. So Psalm 27, we'll just focus on this today. Psalm 27, 1 says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat me up, my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident." Well, where's his confidence? The fact that the Lord is his salvation. The word salvation is not just that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Well, it's that. But it carries a broad spectrum of things here where we're going to be delivered, protected, healed, prospered, and it really pertains to victory in our life. There is danger all around us. There was since Adam fell. A curse came upon the earth. Death was released, sin and death, and dangers around us. The opportunity to fear is always there. So if someone is looking at that, they'll always be afraid. Back in Hebrews chapter 2, it mentions that Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death, Satan, and delivered them who through all their life were in bondage to the fear of death. Well, we were all in bondage to that fear, but when you come to know Jesus as your deliverer, your Savior, you're set free from that. We don't have to be oppressed with fear. And this is so relevant to today because earlier this year, a strong spirit of fear was released into the earth worldwide. And it was largely linked to that with this COVID virus. I've shared with you, it was just a couple years ago, the Lord showed me in prayer, there would be a spirit of fear unleashed in waves. Be based on three things, fear of unknown disease, fear of terrorism, and fear of economic collapse or economic failure. And we've seen that unleashed this year. So it is very important that we're strong in the word, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. I don't have to be afraid or fear. You know, the world could say, well, you should be afraid. But as we're strong in the Lord being our salvation, we don't have to be afraid. I remember one time I went to a certain place of business, and I knew the owner of the business, and we were talking, and he said, he knew I did a lot of missions trips. Oh, you plan to go anywhere? So, well, I'll be going to Ukraine. This was a few years back now. And he said, well, aren't you afraid? And I said, no, should I be? And I knew where he was coming from. I wasn't trying to be smart. But the thing is, there's always danger around. The safe place is in the will of God. My good friend who went to be with the Lord, missionary Randy McMillan in Colombia, who, when assassins were being sent in the mid-90s to kill pastors, political leaders, judges, politicians, and such, and they were being murdered at a high number. And a lot were leaving the country. And I called him and just to encourage him, check up, and I was asking him, well, what's going on? What are you going to do? And he said these words, went into my spirit, I never forgot, and I like to bring it up now and then. He said, I feel safer in the will of God than in a safe place. I feel safer in the will of God than in a safe place. It's the will of God, I'm here, I will stay. And he had a number of times, he and his wife Marcy both, where they had angelic protection from assassins sent to kill them. At their home, at the church, different places. And regardless of whether you encounter something like that, it doesn't make any difference whether it's a disease or someone full of hatred or whatever. We don't have to be under the influence and domination of a spirit of fear, because in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he provided all that we would need to overcome such a thing. Whom should I fear? What should I be afraid of? Now, that's not to sound arrogant or proud or anything like that. It's just the truth of the Word of God. I don't have to fear this stuff. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to deal with things. And that doesn't mean you don't have to walk in wisdom. By all means, you walk in wisdom. If I go to a foreign country, I don't just go do my own thing. You know, if the person I'm with who's local says, we're not going over here, we don't go there. Because they know. Many times when friends I have, like India, Sri Lanka, and what have you, come here, they'll hear things on the news. They'll say, was it safe there? It was fine here. But I'm not going to drop them off out of my car on the 200 block of South Duke Street on a Saturday night. That wouldn't be walking in love, nor would it be wise. It'd be tempting God, because that's not a good place. It's not a good part of town. So there's wisdom and there's faith, and that's the great marriage spiritually. Well, he says, when my enemies come, when my foes come to eat me up, eat up my flesh, and though there's a host against me, my heart shall not fear. So it doesn't matter how large the enemy would seem to be, God's greater than all of it. That's sort of like thinking, well, God can heal a headache, but he can't heal cancer. Well, none of it's too big for him. It doesn't matter if there's 10,000 demons out on the lawn. You're in a safe place. They're not allowed in our turf. So maybe I shouldn't say out on the lawn, down on the street. If they're waiting down there on Farm Drive. I don't care, because I have authority over where I walk and my place on this earth. So sometimes people, and really it's the devil behind it, to get you to see him as bigger than he is. That's always what bullies want to do, to try to create intimidation so you'll back off. And if you begin to move in fear, then they're going to come after you. Well, I love dogs. We're dog people. Dogs can smell fear. I think there's something emits out of the body. And if you turn to run, they're going to chase you, because for them, that's fun. They know you're afraid. My dogs have always, all of them have always loved to chase. So you throw the ball, you throw the stick, you throw something that they can chase. They would go out in the yard. They're looking for a squirrel, rabbit, a bird, anything that moves, something to chase. And as much as dogs being created by God reflect certain things of the kingdom of God, there's also that other reflection that if you turn and run, guess what? They're going to bite you. The way you're surely going to be destroyed by the enemy is to allow a spirit of fear to begin to dominate and to turn and run. Well, they're going to run you down. But if you just stand your ground, I mean, unless a dog's like crazy or something, you have to make that judgment pretty quick. Strange dogs. But if you just keep your peace and just stand, they might come up, sniff your leg, and walk away. You're no fun. It's the guy running from them that's fun. And there's a test for a moment. And you need to be correct in your assessment real quick. What am I facing here? Running's never a good choice, though. They will run you down. Well, we don't have to run from the enemy, because Jesus defeated him. There's a war going on, but the war's already been won. We now have battles to face. You know, towards the end of World War II, the war was essentially won, but there was cleanup battles. There were, clearing out the enemy. And that's more of a picture for us. Yeah, the battle's serious. Someone can get killed. But the outcome's already been decided. We win. Amen. Well, the psalmist David, he had armies against him from King Saul to kill him. That was their specific mission, to kill him. Because Saul was jealous. And he says, in this thing, I'll be confident. God's my salvation. The helmet of salvation guards you from the work of that spirit of fear overtaking you, whereby he can attack you and just take you down. I want to go down to the end of this chapter or the psalm for a moment. Verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the predominant thing the Spirit of God's been bringing to us in these last 5 months is the strength and power of God to overcome the things that are dispatched against us. The spirit of fear and its work. And it's partaking the strength of God is whereby you have victory. And whether it's out there or not, it's a non-issue. The issue is, are you strong? It's like in the natural, viruses have always been on the earth. They've always been. They've always killed people. The issue is God designed your body with an immune system to fight all of that off. The issue is your body strong? The experts, I don't really hear them talking about that a whole lot. But the truth is, in God, he created your body to ward off the attacks in that viral world, or to heal itself, in other words. So the issue for the body is it strong? And you can be very purposed to stay strong. Well, it's the same in the spirit. The issue is, are we strong? It's not trying to hide ourselves from all of the evil out there. It's there. It's all over the world. There's different things in different places at different times. But in any case, we have to be purposed. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. No matter what I face, I am going to conquer this because I have the victory already. Well, he says, unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I would have fainted. We need to have the expectation that whatever we encounter in our future, whether it's today, tomorrow, next year, next month, you can't allow a fear of the future to come in, but rather have expectation that I will see the goodness of God no matter what. Because you can hear things said that, well, it's going to get worse, it's going to get worse. The Bible even says that. The end times, it's going to get worse. But our expectation should be unchanged by that, that no matter what's happening around me, I am believing to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Now, when in the English, the word wait, we tend to think of be still and do nothing until something happens. But actually, in the Hebrew, the root of this word goes to that of making rope or cord, where you're intertwining strands into a rope and it becomes stronger. I mean, the whole concept of strength goes with that. So if you have like a big thick rope, you have different strands there that are interwoven together and it makes it very strong. That concept is brought out in Ecclesiastes chapter, I think it's chapter 4, where it brings out there that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And it's speaking of friendships or relationships in the Lord. That as you are knit together with other people, you are stronger. That's why the enemy, according to Psalm chapter 2, in coming against the Lord and his anointed, wants to break our bands, which is also that same word as cords. He wants to divide us because together we're stronger. He doesn't want us to gather and praise the name of Jesus because our faith is being released and it's magnifying the power of God. The enemy doesn't want us to gather in Jesus' name. We have to understand that's a work of Satan. Whatever he can do to stop that. And as we come together and we're woven together, we are stronger together than individually. Now, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. That waiting or that being interwoven with Him has a byproduct, which is courage and strength. And the waiting on the Lord is our life being completely woven into everything of God. Serving the Lord is not just something you do on Sunday. It's not something, you know, it's just part of your life. Jesus is our life. And being everything interwoven with that, it's hard for the enemy to separate you. Maybe you've had weeds grow up, or even certain plants like English ivy. I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing that I planted some English ivy out around my house. Because if you understand that plant, it'll take over everything. It roots so deep, it'll go around everything. It's hard to get rid of that stuff. It's hard to disrupt it and pull it out. Our beloved plant of Pennsylvania, the dandelion, it's pretty flowers. Why would we want to kill something with pretty flowers? And you can make a tea that's a blood purifier. And you can use the leaves for salad greens. Why would we want to kill this? Yeah, jokingly, I'll say to my wife now and then, let's just plant dandelions in the backyard. We don't have to mow the grass anymore. Well, you know, we have like salad greens year round, pretty flowers. Of course, I'd be the enemy of every neighbor. They would be cursing me. Because, you know, in our mind, in Pennsylvania, this native plant with all these benefits is looked down upon. Well, it roots deep. It's hard to get rid of it. Ivy's hard to get rid of. And if our life is rooted in Christ and we're so intertwined with every part of our life wrapped in around with Him, oh, you're hard to dislodge. If you're just sort of like a part-time Christian, the enemy can uproot you pretty easy. We pulled up some bushes out by the steps. You would have noticed that. And Brother Craig brought a bobcat, I guess it is, and just pulled them out. They don't root very deep. Now, to do that by hand, that's not something I was looking forward to. But with that machine, poof, just pop them right out of there. Some things do not root very deeply and are very easily dislodged. But if something really is rooting deep, it's very hard to dislodge that. Some trees are like that, like a poplar tree. That'll go over, grow up fast and big. And a strong wind, it'll all go down. First property I bought had a side hill, about 5 acres of woods. And there's all these fallen poplar trees. And from what I could guess, they went down in a hurricane of 73 or 75. There was two hurricanes that kind of hit this area pretty hard back then. And all these big old poplars were laying the same way. They didn't have the root system. They weren't interwoven into the soil underneath and the rocks that they could withstand. We're like an oak tree. That'll stand because that taps down, tap root down. Some trees, again, easily blown over. Some plants, easily pulled up. Some plants, you can't get rid of them. When our life is so intertwined with everything that's of God for our life, like you have a prayer life, you have time, you're taking in the Word of God, living by faith, walking by love, fellowshipping together, you know, all these different things, being a worshiper of the Lord, as your whole life's woven in to the things that God would have for our daily life, you become rather unmovable. The enemy and all that he would do does not easily uproot you or disrupt you. One of the things where it's important concerning children, where there's a sense of protection, is that they're not rooted deeply yet. It's not their fault. It's just the fact that they're children. And they need to be help to stand at times. But they need to learn, as is being mentioned previously here, they need to learn to stand. And there comes a point in the life of kids where they begin, there's a challenge, and they stand in their own faith. That's always like an awesome moment for a parent when you see they stood and they believe God for healing. maybe 10 years old or whatever, you know, the age would have been. And they stood relative to a peer pressure, whatever it might be. They learned to grow and be strong and not easily tossed around. Those that are strong, Romans says, should bear the infirmity of the weak. We help those who are weaker, but we should all endeavor to grow stronger. And the simplicity of it is your whole life's intertwined with the truth of God's word and the things of him, his work, the manner he'd have us to live. Now, I want to go back up here now to verse 4. We'll finish 4 through 6. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I'll seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. David is stating the strongest desire that's within him. You will always pursue your strongest and dominant desire. We can say, oh, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. Whatever's the strongest desire will dominate you, and it will be the pursuit of your life. And David's saying, my strongest desire is the presence of God. I'm just paraphrasing now. The presence of God, to behold, to learn, to know the Lord, to come before him. He says, in times of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He'll set me up on a rock. Your hiding place is in him. Sci-fi productions sometimes will carry this thought in a sci-fi thing, like that you become invisible. And you would be safe because no one can see you. Well, that concept is here, where it's like we're invisible to the enemy. I've always loved hearing testimony, and even as a young believer years ago, reading books of different brothers and sisters in the Lord back in the communist Russia and Romania and Ukraine, these different places. And sometimes I'd come across testimonies where they would be like smuggling Bibles, and they'd be stopped, and they're praying, you know, just under their breath, so to speak. God can hear that. God has good ears. He can hear a very low volume prayer. And the soldiers would look right at, say, this box of Bibles and wouldn't see them. Or they'd be looking for them, look right at them and not even see them. And that always struck me. You know, we can become invisible if need be. But we'll say it this way. Our enemy who would seek to attack us doesn't really identify, doesn't really see us, so to speak, or identify us. There is a safe place, the will of God. Or as Brother Randy said, I feel safer in the will of God than in a safe place. Is there a safe place on the earth apart from the Lord? You know, my son Jesse was at Fort Hood when that Islamic wacko killed, what was it, like 12 people, 12 soldiers. And he was supposed to be in the room where it happened, when it happened. And his sergeant, just for no reason, just right before they were to walk in the door, said, no, come over here. He witnessed to one of the young men that were killed and murdered that day. God will give everyone a chance to get saved. He'll give everyone an opportunity for deliverance. What they do with what they hear is on them. You never know when you share the gospel. It might be someone's last chance to hear. That's right. So don't underestimate the opportunities and the importance that they would have. But you would think if there's any safe place, it's one of the largest military bases in the United States. Sounds like that'd be a safe place. Wasn't that day. The safe place is in the will of God. The safe place is in the presence of God. We don't have to run. We don't have to hide. We are hidden in him. We're safe in him. Verse 6 says, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I'll sing praises unto the Lord. The sacrifices of joy is actually speaking of a shout of victory. It's the same word that's used back when they shouted before the walls of Jericho and they fell down. and her enemies were defeated. It's the same word in the Hebrew. A shout of victory. My head's lifted up. The Lord's my light, my salvation. I am lifted up. I will not fear. Whom shall I fear? I will offer the shout of joy. The shout, and there's joy in victory. You don't see, if there's a sporting event and a team gets beat pretty good, you don't see them saying, yeah, doing a dance, you know. They're kind of down about it. There's joy in victory. A sacrifice of joy, an offering of joy. I'll sing praises to the Lord. And the praises here is speaking of with musical instruments. That all magnifies it. Just like our prayer, corporate prayer, the power of God's magnified as we join together in faith. It's increased, it's magnified, it's amped up. So the music ministry with instruments amplifies all of this. There are some instruments that are instruments of declaration. Cymbals, for example. Now, we don't have... I'm not advocating anyone go out and buy a pair and come in, because it might be a little distracting. But we have cymbals in a drum kit. Cymbals. Crash, crash, crash. Trumpets. Trumpets are instruments of declaration, especially with victory. You know, you don't think of violins doing that necessarily. Violins are more peaceful. But in any case, we sing with a loud voice with the instruments to bring forth the offering of the shout of victory before the Lord, because he is our light and our salvation.